142. Psalms 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him before my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou hath. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge filled me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I tended to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shall deal bountifully with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity of being here in the Castle Guard Baptist Church. I thank you for Pastor Klein. I pray your hand would be upon him and this ministry here. Lord, I pray you'd help it to be a light here in this community and around the world. And Lord, I thank you for each one who is here tonight. I pray you'd give them even a deeper burden for the souls of men and women, boys and girls around the world. And I know that many times people feel like there's nobody that cares. But Lord, I pray you'd help this church to continue to be that kind of church. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. No man cared for my soul. You know, I think that's probably the six most saddest words that are ever uttered in the Word of God. No man cared for my soul. No man careth for my soul. Thus cry the millions. No man careth for my soul. Oh, hear their plea. Won't you give your life today to spread the gospel so that Christ can save their souls and set them free? You know, we have over 7 billion people in our world today, and they say that 3 billion of those 7 billion have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. They can truly say, no man cared for my soul. You know, just last May, we had the opportunity. What we try to do in our church is I try to get our people to go to other places of China and to share the gospel. Because many times in Beijing, you know, they have a little bit more opportunities to hear the gospel. And there are different house churches, and we can have special supporting pastors come and that sort of thing. But there are places in China, especially out in the villages, that have no one has ever shared the gospel message with them. Well, last May, we had the opportunity to take some men from our church, and a visiting pastor came with us, and we went out west. Have you ever heard of the Gobi Desert? That's where the Gansu province, it's out west, the Gobi Desert, in there. And we went to a village of a young man that was in our out of one of our churches that we had helped start. And we were able to go to his home, and his whole family came, and he had his aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and that sort of thing, and they came. And we were able to share the gospel message with them. But you know, there are people all over in places of China and India and Africa that people are crying out, no man cared for my soul. You know, this portion of scripture is David is sharing these six words. No man cared for my soul. You know, David, when we think of him, you know, and I like to study David, you know, as we know in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where he fought Goliath. And his father, you know, he was taking care of the sheep, and his father told him to go out and to deliver some food to his brethren who were fighting the Philistines. And he went out there and he saw Goliath defying the armies of the living God and defying God himself. And David said, is there not a cause? And he stood up and he said, I'll go and fight that Philistine. And God used him, and he killed that Philistine. And because of that, he was able to go into the court of King Saul. And he was able to play his harp and soothe King Saul when he was very distraught and that sort of thing. And then he went out and he became famous warrior. And he went out and fought. And he'd come back and they'd say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. And because of that, that caused jealousy with Saul. And so Saul was very jealous, and so he tried to kill David. And so he's chasing him. And this is one of the times when David is fleeing from Saul. And he's in this cave, and even though it was a very well known in this country, and even though he was a hero, and even though he had many loyal followers and men that followed him, he realized at that time in that cave that no man truly cared for his soul. And many people around the world today are crying the same way. No man cared for my soul. But it is my heart today, as you hear this message, that God would lay upon your heart what He would have you do. For you know, there is not a greater thing in this world than to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder here, how many would say, Brother Lawman, I appreciate this church, and this church has been a blessing to me. Would you raise your hand? How many here say, Brother Lawman, that because of this church, I came to know Christ as my Savior? Would you raise your hand? Amen. How many here say, Lord, when I'm going through difficulties or when my friends or relatives are going through difficulties, this church is a blessing to me and praying for me or praying for my relatives? Would you raise your hand? If you love this church and you appreciate this church and how it helps you through your life's difficulties, don't you think that people in places like China and around the world should have the same opportunities that we have here in Canada? You know, God loves people. God is no respecter of persons. And one of the things that we have found, you know, you can have all kinds of programs, you can have all kinds of things to try to bring people in. But the one thing that has helped our church grow is that when people come to our church, they say, Brother Lawman, we feel loved in your church. We feel that you care about us. And that's what it's all about, caring for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Because, you know, it's very difficult. And I'm sure even here, you probably have difficulties and challenges that you have to face. You know, in China, we have many types of difficulties. One of the difficulties that we have there is the difficulty of, in ancient China, you could have more than one wife. When communism took over, no, you can only have one wife. But I hate to tell you that that culture is not changed. Communism tried to stop it, but sometimes culture is hard to stop. And one of the things they do, a lot of times they'll have mistresses, and so that'll cause problems in a marriage and in a family. But another thing that they do is usually when men get to be around 40 years old, they decide that they want to have a younger wife. And so they divorce their wife and they remarry a 20-year-old young lady. And so then what happens to that lady that's 40 years old? She's divorced now. And many times they'll even not have anything to do, you know, if they want that, they'll not even have the child that they had with that lady. He'll even have nothing to do with that son or that daughter. And so they're left with bitterness in their heart, with, you know, feeling betrayed and those kind of things. And so we've got to try to help them to get through that difficult time. And we have a lot of divorced ladies and with their sons or their daughters in our church and trying to help them. And we have one lady that was able, you know, she said she had so much bitterness, so much hate toward her husband. But yet God saved her and she was able to overcome that bitterness. You know, she came to know that God cared for her soul. You know, we need to realize that there are people around the world that are struggling, that are suffering. You know, our Lord, when He came to this earth, the one thing that motivated Him was the souls of men and women, boys and girls. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Or we can look in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. And the Bible says in Mark 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." You know, our Lord came to this earth not for Himself, but He came for this earth for you and for me. He came so that we could have a home in heaven, so that we could have a relationship with Him, so we could have our sins forgiven, and that we can know the Lord as our Savior to help us through the struggles in our life. You know, missions truly is the heart of our Savior. And it is a joy and a blessing to be able to share that message to those that have not heard. It's a blessing to see lives changed. I know of a life, we had a lady in our church, she's in her 60s. She was a preschool teacher, teaching 4- and 5-year-olds. And if you know anything about children in China, when you think of this, you can only have one child, but you have two sets of grandparents. Can you imagine what that child, how, you know, when they're raised by their grandparents, they get anything they want. And so can you imagine what kind of child they're very active. I'll say it very kindly. They're very active. And it is very challenging to work with these 4- and 5-year-olds. Well, this dear lady, she taught 4- and 5-year-olds. And I guess because of the difficulties, she kind of had a sour look on her face, kind of a grouchy kind of a person, that sort of thing. Well, she came to know the Lord as her Savior, and her whole demeanor changed. And no longer did she look at those naughty 4- and 5-year-olds, but she started loving them. And I remember one time she had a child, one of her students had a brain tumor. And she said, Brother Lawman, we need to pray, get together and pray for this dear child. And so we prayed. It was very difficult in China to get into medical care because there's so many people. And a lot of times you have to pay money under the table just to get into the hospital or get into a good doctor, a good hospital. And so this family, they got into a good hospital. Well, usually you have four or five other patients in your room with you. And slowly these other children would die because of the severity of their illness. But this dear little girl, they had the surgery and she survived. And these parents came to our church. They were Buddhist, but they came to our church and said, thank you for praying for our daughter. And this dear, it was all because of this preschool teacher. And people would come from her hometown, her relatives, her nephews, and that sort of thing. They said, we want to know what happened to our aunt. You know, she's not like she used to be. God changed her heart. God can do great things in the life of a person. And what a joy it is to see people change. What a joy to see the gospel change a life. And what a joy it is to know that we care for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Do you know that there are places, you know, people may think here in this earth that really nobody cares. But can I tell you that there are people in the angels in heaven rejoice? If you'll look with me in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10. The Bible says in Luke 15 and verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Notice this. Over what? One sinner that repenteth. Joy in heaven. Just even for one. You know, when I prepared to go to China, I didn't know what to do. I went to Bible college. At the time, I went to a little town called Zini, Kansas, population 10. It's a very small town, probably similar to a lot of small towns here. I don't know if you have any that small. But that's my dad was a farmer, and that's where we grew up on a farm. And about 7 miles from our farm was this little church, Zini Baptist Church. And I'd like you to pray. I just thought, I should have said this in prayer request, but I have a pastor that's retired. His name is Gene Nelson. He was my pastor during that time. And I just got news. He's 87 years old, has cancer in his lungs and his liver, and he only has weeks to live. Gene Nelson, if you could remember him. But that's where I grew up. And how God would call somebody from a small town to go to a land of over a billion people. You know, he definitely has a sense of humor. Well, I was able to go, graduate from high school, thought I would go study computers, because that's when computers were starting to take off. And I went to this Christian school studying computers, found out it wasn't for me, found out computers and I don't get along very good. It's just not my thing. And so, but while I was at the school, I went to Korea and saw mission works and churches and saw they'd have all-night prayer meetings. And I remember one church, they had a curtain here at the back and they moved that curtain back and you could see the city of Seoul. And the pastor encouraged his people to go out and reach his city with the gospel. It really stirred my heart. And so I went to this dear pastor, Brother Gene Nelson, and I said, Brother Nelson, I want to serve the Lord. I don't know if I can be a pastor. I'm pretty shy. I'm, you know, from the, it was a farmer's boy, and you know, kind of backwards. My wife always teases me. She says, Kendall, the Kansas is, when I'm doing something kind of backwards, she'll say, the Kansas is coming out of you. That's what she'll tell me. You know, she teases me like that. But, I said, I don't know if I could be a pastor. I don't know if I could, or a missionary, but I want to serve the Lord. We said, I know a college in Oklahoma that's going to start a mission aviation program. Maybe you could be a missionary pilot. And I said, oh, okay, I'll be a missionary pilot. That sounds exciting, learning how to fly. I've always wanted to fly. So I went to the college there, but they never got the program off the ground. It never took off. They couldn't get the money for the plane. But while I was there, a missionary came and spoke to our chapel service, and they shared similar to what I shared with you today. And I started being intrigued with the Chinese and the Chinese language and that sort of thing. And I kept praying and struggling with the call of God. And it was on the last semester of Bible college. We were in a missions conference. Another missionary came and I got with him and the Lord spoke to me and he gave me Revelations 3:8 where it says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. You know, I gave all the excuses. It's a communist country. I'm backwards. I'm nervous. I can't speak. How am I going to raise support? I don't have money. I don't know the Chinese language. Lord, how can I be a missionary to China? And God said in that verse, I have set before thee an open door. I know all those things. I know those problems you have. but I've given you an open door. And I said, okay, Lord, it's up to you. And so I surrendered my life, and now it's been over 20 years, and this is what God has done in my life. And I want to tell you that God can do the same thing in your life. If you just say, Lord, I want to serve you, what would you have me to do? Heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. And if I could only reach one person in a communist government of 1.4 billion people, it would still be worth it all. For what is the worth of a soul if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The most precious possession a person has is your soul. Why is it so important? Because it is eternal. It will last forever. It doesn't matter how much money you have. One day, it will be gone. There is no trailer behind a hearse. You can't take one thing with you when you die. All you can take is what you've given to the Lord. And that's why it's so important. That's why we need to know. That's why people need to know that Jesus Christ died for them. Not only does heaven rejoice, but hell cares as well. If you look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 27. Luke chapter 16 and verse 27. The rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. We know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor beggar, and he died, and the dogs came and licked his sores, and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died and was buried. But yet he cried to Abraham, oh, send someone to my brethren. They cared. Those in hell cared. They don't want anyone else to come here. Oh, well, I'll die and I'll be with my buddy in hell. Those buddies in hell don't want you to go there. It's a horrible place. They care. They care about the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Here in Psalm chapter 142, when David cried about the Lord, I want to look at three things here in this scripture in Psalms 142. First of all, I want you to look here that no man cared. No man cared, as it says there in verse 4, no man cared for my soul. We live in a self-centered society. It's interesting, as I come back from China to America and in Canada, to see the changes that take place little by little. You know, when I came back this time, I saw things like MeTV. You know, it's all about me. There's a station, I don't know if it's in Canada, but in America, they have a station called MeTV. It's all about me. You know, that's what, it's so self-centered. And so many people, I know in China, everybody says, it's all about making money. It's all about me. You know, there's so much competition. Because when there's over a billion people, there's a lot of competition. And, you know, dog eat dog, that sort of thing. And to be able to come to a church where people care is a great draw. You know, there are so many sad stories. I know of a story of when I was preparing this message, of a man that was crossing a street, or not a street, but crossing a railroad tracks, and he got hit by a train and was killed. Do you know how much money the Chinese government gave to his family? They gave him $40. That's the value they put on that man. I know of a story, you know, I was talking about how in America and Canada, we drive on the right side of the road. In Europe, they drive on the left side of the road. But in China, we drive on both sides of the road. I mean, the traffic is just crazy. Well, many times we've seen people hit, just trying to cross the street, they'll get hit by a car. And we've even had a missionary lady trying to cross the street, got hit by a bus. Praise the Lord. You know, she still has a problem, but she survived and everything. But it's just a crazy, mixed up place, you know, because there's just so many. There's you know, cars and motorcycles, mopeds, bicycles, pedestrians, scooters, you know, you name it. There's just everything, people everywhere. So crossing, you have to be real careful. But I read a story of a man that was driving along, and he hit a two-year-old little girl. Well, you would think if you were driving, you hit a child, what would be your first reaction? You would stop the car, get out, and try to help and call the ambulance and that sort of thing. That's not what this man did. What this man did, he backed up, ran over the girl again. And they said, why would you do such a horrible thing like that? He says, because it's cheaper to pay for her death than it would be to pay for her medical expenses. No man cared for my soul. No man. You know, people today are feeling that no man cared for my soul. David felt that thing. But notice in verse number 5, David didn't give up. David didn't say there's nobody else that cared. Notice what he did. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. No man, but one man cried. And who did he cry to? But he cried to the Lord. The one who truly cared. The one who can help him out of his sin-sick condition. One man cried. David knew that it was only God that truly cared. And that's why missions is so important. That's why we must. That's why you have these dear missionaries, so that they can share and let people know that there is somebody that cares, that there is somebody that wants to share with them the gospel message of Jesus Christ. One man cried. And as they cried, you know, to the Lord, you know, David says here in chapter 18 and verse number 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came to him, came before him. You know, when we cry to him, nobody else will care. Nobody else will come, but we cry to the Lord. He cares and he listens and he hears our cry. You know, what a joy it is to know that he is there in whatever difficulty, whatever situation we are. We can cry to God and he will hear us and he will help us. And what a joy it is to give people that hope, to give let them know that he cares. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion. We worked in an orphanage. I went to a language school and went there almost 4 years, 3.5 years. And then after that, I graduated and went and worked in an orphanage for 2 years to keep my visa in China. And many times we work with these children. Nobody cared. They were given up because usually they were girls. They wanted to have a boy. They didn't want to have a girl. And since they could only have one child, if they had a girl, they'd give it to the orphanage so they could try again. And so our orphanages were full of little girls. Or if they were disabled, they would give it to the orphanage so they could try again because they wanted a healthy child. And so these children were not loved. They were not cared. They were just stuck on potty chairs to sit there all day and then put in bed at night. And nobody spent any time with them. Well, we started working. We said, we want you to give us the most 30 disabled children. And all we're going to do is we're just going to love them. That's all we're going to do. You know, they were very distraught. They were very sad looking, just a really pitiful looking children. But we just started loving them, giving them more food to eat, and they just blossomed. And they started smiling, and they then became the 30 best children in the orphanage. And all it was just giving them love, showing that you cared for them. There is power in showing that a person is cared for. There is power in showing that a person is loved. And it's amazing what they can. And many times, you know, we'd have people come to our orphanage, and oh, those poor orphans and that sort of thing. And they would say, we don't want your pity. Nobody likes to be pitied. But they do like to have compassion. Compassion is love in action, doing something about it. And that's what we need to do. We need to do something about this sin-sick world that is lost in sin and share the gospel message. And let them know that we care for them. No man cared, one man cried, but most of all, one man came. As we look here in verse number 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shall deal bountifully with me. Thou wilt deal bountifully with me. The Lord wants to do great things in your life and in my life. But do you know the biggest obstacle that's in our life, keeping God from doing great things in our life? Do you know what the biggest obstacle is? For God wants to do bountiful. He wants to come and do great things in our life. But you know what the biggest obstacle in our life is? Ourself. We don't want God to do it. We want to do it our way, or we want to do it a specific way. Instead of saying, Lord, here it is. You know, when I was in Bible college, my pastor would say, you know, all we need to do is just draw a circle and step in that circle. And so, Lord, everything in this circle belongs to you. My ambitions, my hopes, my dreams, everything, Lord, however you want to use it for your honor, for your glory, here it is. And that's what we need to do. We need to give our life to Him. We need to say, Lord, use me. Help me. Show me how I could be a better prayer warrior. You know, it's amazing how God opens doors because of the prayers of God's people. You know, you may think that just praying is not very important, but those prayers that you have for those missionaries, when they come through difficult situations and they don't know how it goes, God is hearing your prayers and He's helping those missionaries through those difficult situations. And we've had some difficult situations, but God has watched over us through it all. And I believe it's because of the prayers of God's people. Or we need to pray, Lord, how can we do more? You know, in the area of giving. You know, it's amazing to me how somebody, you know, and I'm probably like that way as much as anybody, but how when we look at a $20 bill. You know, when we go to Walmart or someplace like that, $20 doesn't seem like a lot of money. You know, that doesn't buy a lot. But when the offering plate comes along, $20 seems like an awful lot of money to give to the Lord. And I wonder, you know, sometimes if we could not do more, if we were willing to give this to the Lord and say, Lord, how can you use my money for your honor and for your glory? And then, of course, we need to say, Lord, are you willing to go? Maybe there's someone in this church. Well, you say, Brother Lawman, I don't know if God could use me. If God could use me, let me tell you that God could use you, because you're limiting God when you say that. Our God, you know, Brother Tao, he was driving me, you know, when you come there from that Juanita border, you know, right there, it is beautiful. You know, the Columbia River. I mean, that is beautiful. You know, and you look, God created that. You see the majesty of our Lord. And He wants, this is a sin-sick world. You know, our God can do great things. He can do a great thing in your life, and He can do a great thing in my life. But it all depends upon us. You know, don't let the world be said of you, no man cared for my soul. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Let Him talk to you. Let Him work with you. Let Him guide you. Let the Holy Spirit show you what He would have you do for His honor and for His glory. And I believe that you'll be pleasantly surprised what God can do for you, what God can do in you to reach other people. There are probably people in this city that are hurting that only you can reach, that only you can be a minister to. And you say, Lord, help me to be that kind of person. Help me, the people that I come in contact with, the people that I influence, help them to know that I care for their soul. I pray that the Lord would speak to your heart. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity of preaching your word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing about caring for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, I just pray that your hand would be upon each one today. And I pray you'd work in their life and help them to serve you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would just like to briefly see a show of hands and say, Brother Lawman, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die today, I would go to heaven. As a testimony, would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? Thank you. Maybe there's someone here who says, Brother Lawman, I'm not 100% sure, but I would just like you to pray for me. I don't want to embarrass you, but is there anybody here who says, Brother Lawman, I'm not 100% sure if I die today, I would go to heaven? Is there anybody like that at all? All right. Well, maybe you all are Christians. You all know the Lord. But maybe there's someone here who says, Brother Lawman, I know the Lord. I am a Christian. I've been serving Him. But I want to do more for the cause of Christ. I want people to know that I care for people around me. And I wanted the Lord to show me, and I want to obey what the Lord tells me to do. And I would like you to pray for me. Is there any Christian like that here today? Would you raise your hand? Dear Lord, you know the hands. You know the hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of those here today. Help them to know that you love them and that you want to use them for your honor, for your glory, to know that people around them, that they care for their soul. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor.